It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Anticipation is building for the City Game, an annual college basketball game between the University of Pittsburgh Panthers and the Duquesne University Dukes, which dates back to 1932. The crosstown rivalry between the two schools has only intensified over the years, and that should be evident when the teams meet tomorrow night at 7 at Consol Energy Center. Joining us by phone to talk a little about the history of this game and this rivalry are former Pitt point guard Brandon Knight, who played for the Panthers from 1999 to 2003 and is now an assistant coach with the Panthers. Welcome, Brandon.
Thank you for having me.
And former Duquesne forward Jarrett Durham, who played for the Dukes from 1969 to 1971 and was a very successful head coach for Robert Morris. He now does color commentary for Dukes basketball radio broadcasts. Jarrett Durham, great to have you with us.
Hey, thanks for having me, Paul.
Jarrett, I'll start with you. What makes the City Game special?
Well, you know, it's the two biggest institutions in the city playing basketball. Pitt's always been a great rivalry for Duquesne. It's only a mile and a half up the road. And a lot of it started back in the 50s and 60s when both schools would play each other during the summers. And so sort of a natural rivalry developed back then.
Brandon Knight, as far as you're concerned, what makes the City Game special?
I think kind of to piggyback on some of the things you said, was just, you know, we see each other every summer. We see each other out. You know, some of these guys, I wouldn't say are close friends, but they, some of them have relationships just through summer league, through, like I said, through being local summer pickup games. You know, sometimes our guys will go down to Duquesne. Sometimes they may come up and play some pickup up our way. But it's just, I think, the natural bragging rights, as well as being in such close proximity. I just think, you know, we share a lot. We share a lot in common. We share a lot of common area, too, you know. So those guys venture up here. Our guys venture downtown. So it's just, I think just that just makes for a more intense rivalry once we all get on the court.
So what I'm hearing from both of you is the fact that you've got two schools with players in close proximity, and during the off season, guys are trying to find a place to play, so they're bumping into each other, they're seeing each other a lot. So is there a little bit of trash talking that goes on, you know, even away from this game that sort of adds to the buildup during the year?
Go ahead, you can answer first.
Okay. I think absolutely right. I think it's just the nature of basketball players to talk trash, period. You know, these guys have known each other probably going back to junior high school, some, you know, and AAU ball. So they played against each other and they've talked trash. They've followed each other. So it's just a great opportunity to go out and put a little bit more intensity into a basketball game.
And what about from your perspective, Brandon?
I'd echo the same thing. But, you know, in the past couple of years, our guys have actually played together and competed together on the same teams at times, you know, in summer league, you know. So I just think, you know, all of those guys want to do well, you know. All of our guys want to do well. And it just makes for a better game when it's that competitive, you know, when there's a little bit more at stake, when there's, you know, some bragging rights on the line. And this is something to be talked about, you know, for years moving forward.
Right. You're going to hear about it one way or another. At least you've got a whole year to wait before you can go back and get your revenge, right?
Yeah.
Well, absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. Definitely.
What can you gentlemen tell us about what takes place on the court during this game that fans might not be aware of? Is there, obviously there's going to be some trash talking. What other extracurriculars are going on, or maybe away from the play or behind the ref's back? Is there a little more of that kind of thing than usual in this game?
No, if you don't mind me answering, I think when I played, definitely there were, in the past years, there's a little jarring going on, but it's just, it's not the nature of the athlete today. I think I think the way that we probably embrace the just you know, the challenge, the competition. Like, it's just, you know, and the game is such a finesse game now. Like, you can't, there's no room for that. You know, it's just, everything is, you know, sportsmanship, it's gamesmanship, all of those different things. Whereas, you know, getting under a guy's skin or a hard foul here and there, like, you just can't play like that anymore. So the kids, in my opinion, it's just not as intense when it comes to those things, you know, the trash talking, the hard fouls, the, you know, the extracurricular after the plays. Like, I just don't think it happens anymore.
Boy, Brandon,
or as much anymore.
Brandon, I guess I'm kind of surprised to hear that, but and for you, Jarrett, you played in the late 60s, early 70s in that Red Manning era, and the Dukes actually in those days had a bit of an upper hand. So what do you remember? I have to think that back then it was a little more intense than what Brandon is describing.
I'm sure it was.
Yeah, I agree with Brandon. I think the game has been scaled back, the physicality of the game. The game was much tougher back in the 60s, you know. You only had two officials, you know, number one. So they missed a lot of plays.
Right.
You know, so, and also it was just more physical. The game was inside, you know. You tried to overpower people, you know, with play. Now it's more of a guards game. You know, starting with Brandon there, you know, Brandon was one of the best point guards ever play in this area. And,
for sure.
And I think from that point on, you know, guards sort of took over with the three-point shot. Now you play three guards, you know. Some teams play four guards in one big.
Mm-hmm.
So the physicality of the game is a lot different than it was back then. You know, I was lucky. I was 6'4", 6'5", and I was considered a big guard back then. You know, one of the first big guards. So, and our front court, we had the biggest team in basketball my senior year. We're 6'5", 6'7", 2'6", 10 twin, and those off with 6'3" guards. So, much more physical back in those days than it is today.
And can either of you remember any particular incidents that occurred that stand out? Jarrett, I'm guessing you must have some memories of because in those days, I mean, the Dukes, they were the dominant team. So I'm guessing you walked into the arena with a little more swagger and maybe a target on your back.
Yeah, a little bit more. You know, at that point, Pitt hadn't joined the Big East. I think that was the big thing, you know, and people back in the 60s didn't realize that you can make a lot of money through college basketball. Football was always the king, you know, back in the 60s. Football put the money on the table. But now it's kind of changed, and Pitt's taken full advantage of that. They've gotten to the Big East, and they haven't looked back since. And I think that's the big difference between the two eras.
Okay, so what about a memorable incident? Something where, you know, something got a little out of hand that you still think about today, either Brandon or Jarrett.
Go ahead, Brandon.
I was going to say, we just had, there would be some hard fouls here and there, some elbows away from the ball. You know, like, our game was a little bit more physical. And the other thing is, you didn't have the eye in the sky watching everything. Whereas now, if a kid gets elbowed, he tells his coach, they go back and review it. There's a camera angle that, you know, that's picking it up. You know, those are flagrant fouls. Those are could warrant ejections. You know, all of those things. So now it's just, like I said, I can't think of a specific instance, but we definitely had the hard fouls and the, you know, some of the trash talking after the play. You know, I used to talk to, I would talk to Darrell Porter, you know, because he and I, we had a good relationship, a great relationship. And, you know, he would do some things that would get under my skin. And, you know, when they were guarding, he might have a guy just follow me around the court the entire game, which was, you know, kind of, it was annoying, you know. And so it was like little things like that. It just, you know, it just, I just don't think it happens anymore.
All right, Jarrett, I'm sure you've got a good story there somewhere.
I'm thinking, you know, about the biggest thing that we ever had is that I played against Tony Delicio. He played at Elwood City, and we were in the old Section 3. So he was a couple years ahead of me, and so we knew each other. But, you know, it was always a friendly contest. If if I get an opportunity to block his shot or to nail him going in hard for a foul, he would do the same for me. You know, there was no layups. You know, no one was ever allowed to get any kind of layups. But I think the biggest thing was when Willie Somerset, just prior to me in the 60s, he played against his high school buddy, Brian Generalovich. They both played on Farrell's state championship team, but one went to Pitt, one went to Duquesne. And I remember Willie telling me a story that he and Brian went on the floor for a loose ball, and you know, Willie gave him a pretty good shot. And Brian looked up and said, what are you doing? And, you know, and Willie supposedly said, well, hey, this is the Pitt-Duquesne game. All bets are off.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. My guests are former Duquesne University basketball star and current Dukes broadcaster Jarrett Durham, who you just heard there, and also with us former Pitt basketball star and current assistant coach Brandon Knight. Jarrett, Pitt has dominated this rivalry in recent years, but the Dukes seem to be on the rise this year. So what do you think of the Dukes' chances tomorrow night?
I think this is Coach Tim Ferry. This is his best team he's had as far as talent and depth. I think that they're feeling pretty good about themselves as a team. They've had some good wins early, and they've had a couple wins that I think are signature wins because this team is led by the senior guards, Micah Mason, and Derek Coulter. Now, down in Florida, they got behind the University of Wisconsin at Milwaukee, and they were down in overtime with about a minute and a half to go. They're down by four. And, you know, last year or the year before, that was a game they probably would have lost. But this time they found a way to get it done. LG Gill hit a big three to bring it to one. Duquesne has two or three stops after that, and they're able to walk away with a victory. Again, for a team that struggled to have success the last couple of years, being able to pull out a victory in that tough situation without your best player, I think gives a lot of confidence going into this game. I think for Duquesne to be successful, they're going to have to come out, and their best players are going to have to play well. And hopefully one of the other players, the X factor, will step up. They're going to have to play their best basketball this year. Pittman Valley is the best team they've played thus far, and they will require that type of an effort.
Brandon, from a University of Pittsburgh standpoint, do you have to guard against, you have to tell your players you can't go into this overconfident, or is there so much at stake in terms of the bragging rights that that there's no danger of that?
I think our guys respect them. You know, I don't think there's a sense of, okay, we're the big bully. You know, we're trying to, you know, make a name for ourselves, you know. So not to say anything like we don't value who Duquesne is, but, like, we're trying to be the best Pitt team we can be. And with that being said, like, they're an obstacle, and we want to play well. You know, they have to defend the three. They shoot the ball so well. They can spread you out. They have a bunch of guys who can make shots. So whenever, you know, you have guys that are shooting the ball as well as Micah Mason, Derek Coulter, even LG Gill, as well as they're shooting it from three, it's just one of those things where they're a threat at all times, you know. So we have to defend against penetration and kickouts, and they run good stuff. They execute well. So I think our guys nobody cares, or I don't think our guys care about, you know, how many times we may have won back to back. You just don't want to be the team that breaks that streak. So, you know, I think the game is very, very meaningful to us. And I don't think we go in with that big bully mentality, because we're just trying to make a name for ourselves as well.
It's the annual city game between Pitt and Duquesne. Basketball tomorrow night at Consol Energy Center. We've been talking with former Pitt basketball star and current assistant coach Brandon Knight and former Duquesne University basketball star, former Robert Morris coach and current Dukes broadcaster Jarrett Durham. Guys, great thanks. Enjoy the game tomorrow.
Thanks for having me.
And thank you for listening to Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. Tomorrow on the program, The topic is poverty, the state of it in Western Pennsylvania, and possible solutions. If you missed any portion of this program or would like to revisit past segments, you can go to our website at wesa.fm. Until tomorrow, I'm Paul Guggenheimer. So long for now.